Hello and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner. Today, Matt Anderson and I talk to Steve Ackerman, Event Production Supervisor for Daktronics. So Steve, thanks for joining us today. You're a former event producer. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Certainly, yeah. So, well, currently I am the Supervisor of Event Producers for Daktronics. I started with Daktronics back in 2002. It was actually the Keyframe office down in Clearwater, Florida, that I worked for there. I did a lot of animation, content creation, that sort of thing. We also helped out with University of Central Florida doing event production and with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I've been in event production for a long time. I worked out of that office for about 2 years, and then we got an opportunity. Pete Eggert came to me and said, University of Wisconsin, we're selling them some new video boards. And as part of that, we've got a service where we're going to provide an event producer. And they kind of asked around the office, would anybody interested in doing that? We're looking for somebody to fill that role. I kind of thought about it and was like, well, all my friends around here are getting married. We're not hanging out anymore. I can move to Wisconsin. Why not? Knew nothing about, you know, Wisconsin. I knew it was up by Canada somewhere. I figured let's go give that a try. So yeah, I got up to Madison. Pete was very smart about the way he introduced me to Madison because he brought me up in the summer, took me to campus. They got a beautiful student union on the lake there. So I kind of fell in love with it right away. And honestly, coming up, I figured I would be working under that contract for 6 months until they found somebody better. But I figured, you know, go up there and see what you can do. And 6 months turned into 13 seasons working at UW-Madison.
Wow.
And I loved every minute of it. And then Mark Eisenstadt tapped me to become the supervisor of event producers for Daktronics. So now I'm in that role. Because that was the first event production site University of Wisconsin was, and it has grown since then. I've kind of come back to kind of overseeing all of that, which is a lot of fun.
So you talked about Pete was smart bringing you up during the summertime there to Wisconsin. What was your views like of that first winter experience up here? A little bit different?
It was a lot of fun because you don't see any snow in Florida. I had a Jeep Cherokee. It was rear-wheel drive. People in Wisconsin don't know they make those rear-wheel drive, but in Florida, you don't need four-wheel drive unless you're on a beach or a swamp.
Yep.
I kept my Florida plates on the car, which is great, because that way when I got stuck on the slightest little incline, everybody knew just go around him. He doesn't know what he's doing. And I didn't have all-season tires. Once I got all-season tires, that was a lot better. I drove that Jeep for 10 years in Madison. Now I've got four-wheel drive, and it's fantastic. I love it. I get where I need to go, no problem. I found I was made for cold weather. I didn't know it. I really enjoy the cold weather. I can't imagine going back to Florida, and especially playing golf in 94-degree weather with, you know, 90-something% humidity and carrying the bag. But I don't know how I ever did it then.
All right, so you talked about starting when it was back in Keyframe. I actually started with Daktronics when Keyframe existed too, and now it's Daktronics Creative Services. And now there's a whole creative services division, a whole professional services division that covers so many different things. But could you tell us a little bit about how that role transitioned for you from being an event producer into the supervisor that you are today?
Well, yeah, I can even take it back a step further. When I was doing the content creation, it was a lot of fun. You know, like one day I'd be doing content for the Dodgers, another one for the Buccaneers. I mean, there's stuff going out all over the country. And what captured me about doing the event production and getting onto a site was now content would be coming to me and some content I would be creating, but I would get to see the reaction. You know, I'd send something off to the Dodgers. I'd never hear anything back from it unless, you know, something needed to be changed or whatever. Don't know what, you know, what was the fan reception, that kind of thing. Whereas when I got to be on site and be an event producer, I got to, you know, put the content out there and get the immediate feedback from, yep, that worked, or okay, let's see if we can do this one a little better. Really liked that aspect of it. And then, you know, transitioning into the supervisor role, after doing that for so many years of being an event producer, you really start to learn a lot of the ins and outs and, you know, what sort of things work, what sort of things don't, everything from hiring crew or, you know, what makes a good crew, how to tell a story with your video board production, working with sponsors, working with customers, working with student athletes, all that kind of stuff goes in. And now I get to share that wisdom with our current event producers.
So with your current event producers that you supervise, how many different ones are there and where exactly are they located around the country?
Well, we have different levels of service, and certainly the high-end service is the full-time event producer, which, like you said, we put a full-time event producer on site at a campus, much like I was, exactly like I was at University of Wisconsin. We currently have 9 full-time event producers. Three of them are located at University of Georgia, and the reason Georgia has three is because they're not only doing video board production, but they're also overseeing the SEC Network ESPN productions for the streaming digital and linear productions. Then the other locations, we've got an event producer at Air Force Academy, University of Florida, Iowa State, James Madison, South Dakota State, and we have one at MetLife Stadium, primarily working with Jets and Giants, but with any event that they would have coming into that venue. Talking about a lesser level where it's not a full-time person, but where we do some work there, we also have somebody at Hofstra University, and then at the Cotton Bowl in Texas as well.
That's quite a variety of different stadiums and customers there. What is there any big changes you see, at least when you're talking to your event producers, from one to the other?
The most unique one is Air Force Academy. Being a service academy, there's all kinds of different rules and things that go on there. So that one's been a little bit of an educational experience for me as well, just as far as how things flow. The students or the cadets at the Air Force Academy are not allowed to have jobs there, so we don't have any students on that crew. It's all independent contractors that are coming in to do the work, whereas the other universities, we really pride ourselves on being able to use students and saying, you know, hey, this is an opportunity for these students to learn, to see if this is an industry, if they want to get into, and it certainly gives them a foot in the door if they want to continue on into this kind of industry.
With the event producers being part of Daktronics and being placed on site, is there anything that helps them in their location, maybe extra information they have about Daktronics while they bring it to their customer at wherever they're located?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of kind of value opportunities that these event producers provide to their universities. Certainly, they know Daktronics systems extremely well. Anytime they were to have a question or anything, they know exactly who to get a hold of to get an answer. But in addition to knowing those Daktronics systems, they all know third-party equipment really well. I mean, you got switchers, cameras, replays. They all know how to run those machines very well as well. We have a weekly call, so all of our event producers at all those places I mentioned are talking to each other once a week. You know, hey, what worked? What didn't work? What ideas are coming forward? What sort of new things are you seeing? And that way, collectively, I think they work a lot better than if they were to all, you know, work individually.
So along with your event producers collaborating, do they bring their customer feedback into it and things that they hear from the universities that they're working for?
Yeah, we certainly get really good feedback from our event production site. The customers, they can't imagine, you know, running these productions without them. The event producer really becomes integrated into the culture at their site. I often find myself having to remind our event producers, hey, you work for Daktronics, not for not for your customer. But I think a lot of that's a good thing, that, you know, certainly the customer sees them that way and that they see themselves that way. They really get integrated into that culture there, and I think there's a lot of benefits that come from that. Example would be like at Air Force Academy. I was just out there last week. The event producer works in the marketing office right alongside the marketing folks, and they have a new athletic director that just started out there at Air Force Academy, and they were talking about the big press conference coming up, and Justin, our event producer there, just overhears the conversation, kind of stepped in and said, hey, why don't we just turn on all the video boards, you know, in the football stadium, put up a welcome message, and, you know, they'd just kind of add to the atmosphere for this new introduction. And sure enough, you know, I was out there for that, and the new athletic director and his family, they were taking pictures in front of the video board with the welcome message up. The media who was there, I saw them getting some B-roll footage of it. So it definitely kind of lived on beyond that day and in some of the social media and things like that, all just because the event producer was, you know, sharing the office of the marketing department and overheard a conversation.
So you mentioned how an event producer is really integrated into the team or the college site that they're at. What type of different departments do they work with? You mentioned an AD in marketing in this example at Air Force Academy, but who exactly with the university does it, you know, each event producer typically work with?
Primarily, they're going to work with the marketing department. Okay. That's who they're most closely working with. But really, they work with everybody. I mean, they get involved with the teams when it comes time to, you know, schedule headshot shoots and things like that. Okay. They're involved in meetings. We know when their opinion might be needed on something. I mean, it's really a lot of everything, a little bit of everything, I guess.
All right. So aside from maybe a permanent event producer where they're on site, they're there for all the different games. Is there anything else that's out there if someone just needs help for maybe a big event that's going on a short time basis or anything?
Yes. Along with the full-time event production, which again, that's kind of the high-end service, putting somebody on site. We usually do those as like a 3-year contract and have options for extensions beyond that. But what we can do, a lot of times what we see is turnover. Somebody new has to step into the role. So they've got, you know, the university might have somebody who is ready to take on that role, but doesn't have a lot of experience. And there's a few ways we can help them out with that. We can send an event producer maybe to just cover their first couple of games. So there's somebody there to kind of kick it off and make sure that they're comfortable with it. We also do event production training, which may take place before the season, where we would send a trainer out there to go over, you know, the basics of event production. Here's, you know, some things to look for, what to expect. Here's how you can succeed with your show. And then kind of along those lines, we do event production consulting, where we could review a customer script and look for opportunities to either improve the show or, you know, bring more sponsorships or anything that would kind of enhance that fan atmosphere. And then we're also doing this. It's not just universities. We're also doing this at the high school level. We have some offerings coming out for them as well, where we can kind of assist them. The high school market is definitely growing. We're seeing more and more video production. And I think there's a tie there, too. If we can get some of these high school students doing some of the event production that happen to go to one of our sites where we have event production, then they're going to, you know, come in as freshmen with a ton of experience, which would be fantastic.
Yeah, and that's something we've seen just from Daktronics in general. I'd say over the last 5 to 6 years, the number of video displays actually at the high school level has definitely gone up dramatically. You had mentioned something about, you know, turnover, and that made me think about when you're talking about back to an event producer being at a specific site, so it could be Georgia Air Force, and we've talked about their responsibilities, you know, meeting with marketing, helping produce the actual event. But when you said turnover, that made me realize, you know, there's a lot of other people in that control room. So is that event producer also responsible for, you know, interviewing and hiring? I'm guessing on a college situation, it's probably a lot of students that may come in, either help handhold cameras or do instant replay. How are they in charge maybe of the staffing at each place?
Yeah, so staffing and taking on that all the duties that come along with that is one of the big values that we provide to our customer. They don't have to deal with it on their payroll. Many of them are state entities, which comes with a lot of red tape. We're able to do it much more efficiently. And you're right, there is a lot of turnover, certainly at the student position. I mean, at best, you're probably getting them 4 years.
Yep.
3 is probably a little more realistic. But yeah, we take care of all the scheduling for all of those shifts. I think at Georgia, it's like a couple hundred that they do in a year when you factor in all the video board, all the SEC network, digital and linear shows that they do, and then all the sports that they cover. There's so many of them. Mm-hmm. It comes out to several shifts that you have to track, manage, make sure people are there. If they call in sick, there's got to be a replacement, that kind of thing. They do all the interviewing, the hiring for those shifts as well.
I got to imagine when you're talking to customers, that's something that they really like, right? I mean, that's a interviewing, hiring, that can be a big chunk of time out of their day, and I'm sure they got plenty of other things they need to attend to, but having someone else take care of that's got to be pretty helpful.
Yeah, and that's the feedback we've gotten from customers too. I mean, they just flat out said that, you know, they love that they don't have to deal with that, and it's not something they would look forward to try and take on and do themselves.
For event production, you're also doing something more than just taking on a few things. You're actually providing an entire entertainment atmosphere for a basketball game or a football game, everything that goes beyond the game itself. And in seeing some of that, Matt and I monitor social media, and we see some of the tweets coming out where people show the Jumbotron has trolled a certain player by doing something interesting with content on it. I'm sure you've seen a lot of different trends of content on displays and different things that different universities are doing to try and entertain their fans. Can you comment on a few of the interesting things you've seen out there, or maybe some trends that you're seeing?
Yeah, certainly. So it's a big, big push, and has been for a while, to enhance the fan experience, you know, giving people a reason to attend the game as opposed to sit home on their comfy couch and just watch the game on TV. And a lot of that is done through video board and video board features. We have partnerships with some companies like Q Audio. And it taps into your phone, does a light show that syncs up with, you know, a video board feature that you might have going on. So when the music's pumping, the, you know, the whole stadium's holding up their phone and the lights are all flashing at the same time. There's emoji cams, which they do. University of Georgia's got it, where they, you know, they shoot the fans and it'll superimpose a Georgia Bulldog helmet on the fans and things like that. It's just a lot of fun, cool stuff like that that's been popping up. University of Florida is actually working with one of our partners, Quince Imaging, and they use projectors. So they've got projectors on their court for volleyball and for basketball games. So when the player intros are going on, that's really cool. You know, lights are out, but the court projection is on. The players are kind of like running out onto it. They got their headshot, like, you know, larger than life, like right there next to them. So there's a lot of cool stuff like that going on.
Yeah, I've definitely seen some of those projection mapping down onto basketball courts and hockey arenas where it's almost 3D looking is what they're trying to make it look like. So things are coming and going. But
so what do you look forward to most when you're going to go into a game or a first event? What are you looking for at tip off when things are just getting started? Or what's the most exciting part of that event for you?
Well, now in the supervisor role, I love being back in the control room. I love just the pace and the vibe of game day. And then just getting, you know, 80,000 fans to cheer in unison or boo, as the case may be. It's pretty awesome. You know, when you're responsible for doing that, whether it be through a feature or a replay or just, you know, a crowd shot, you know, telling that story. Sometimes you can get like a back and forth with this fan and that fan, and the rest of the stadium starts to see it and react to it. It's a ton of fun.
Yeah, I've been into a couple of different control rooms in my time here at Daktronics, and it definitely seems like there's a big camaraderie with everyone in that room, too. It seems like everyone's obviously on headsets talking back and forth to each other, but there's always funny things that they spot out in the crowd when they're looking up on the multi-viewer and calling it out and laughing as a group. So it definitely seems like there's been a lot of fun in control rooms when people are doing all that.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what I miss the most about moving away from the event producer role. I really miss the crew. I loved working with them. You had kind of your independent contractors who were, you know, they were there for the long haul. They do this kind of work during the day. They're freelancers. They go out and shoot things, and then, you know, they're available for games when you can get them in there. And then the students were great too, but they would come in, you know, cycles of 3 or 4 years maybe. And it was a lot of fun to see those students grow and then move off and become successful, especially in this industry, doing something in video production or something with sports production. And then, you know, hearing back from them, you know, a year or two down the road and saying, you know, Steve, I really enjoyed my time working there. That was one of the most fun jobs, probably the most fun job I'll ever have. It was really cool. Appreciated the opportunity. So that was definitely a lot of fun. And I miss kind of that camaraderie you're talking about with the crew.
Yeah, it definitely seems like when it comes to something like a football game where they're getting ready for it the whole week, the game goes on, everything goes well, and then when the game's over, there seems to be this huge kind of sigh of relief for everyone cheering, going around high-fiving each other once the broadcast is done, because it's the last 3-4 days have been all about that event. Then when it's done, they all just seem to like get together and cheer and celebrate that it went off good.
Yeah, you know, I'll say that about my past crew, and I believe it's true for all of our event production sites too, is those crew members take a lot of pride in the work that they do. Mm-hmm. Just little things, little tiny things that just nobody would ever notice. It's a big deal to them. Like a graphic just isn't lined up exactly the way it's supposed to be, and nobody would ever notice. But to them, it's like they got to get that. They got to, you know, fix that and make sure they get that right. And then when you have the big successes with, you know, the fans reacting to features, they really appreciate that. They enjoy being part of that. You know, there's post-game meetings afterwards where they talk about, you know, what worked and what didn't. And they really, you can tell they really take pride in the work that they do.
That's great. It's always good to hear that people enjoy what they're doing and love their jobs. I mean, we joke that you shouldn't be laughing at work so much, because Matt and I joke around all the time and laugh. But it's great to hear that even on site and in different settings, people are having that fun and enjoying what they do. I'm going to take it back for a second, because you did say that in one case you got 80,000 fans to boo at the same time. I got to know, what's your favorite moment from being an event producer?
Oh my gosh. We were playing Michigan, and Michigan had the lead, I think by 2, and there was about 2 seconds left, and Michigan had just gone down, scored, taken the lead, and our crew is just deflated. You could just, I mean, so was the arena. Everybody's kind of like, well, we just lost. And I told Replay, I said, Replay, get ready. We're going to hit something here. We're going to win this game. And sure enough, inbounds the ball. Ben Brush shoots up a half-court shot. It was to tie. He hit it to tie, a half-court shot, nailed it. Place goes nuts. We go into overtime and win the game. And that was pretty cool. The whole crew was like, wow, how did you know that was going to happen, Steve? I was like, I don't know. I didn't. I was just making sure you guys were ready for it. So
you got to be ready just in case it happens.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
Well, cool. So we talked about the different places that have event production that we're helping out customers with. Say if someone listening today doesn't have that or is interested in learning more about event production, how we can help them out, whether it's, you know, a full-time event producer or, like you said, some kind of consulting service to help them out with their game day experiences, what's the best way that they can reach out to maybe contact you or us to learn more about it?
So if you need some help with event production at any level, feel free to talk to your, you know, your Daktronics rep, if it's your salesperson, your app engineer, anybody with Daktronics that you're in communication with, just tell them you're interested in event production. They can certainly get a hold of me. Or if you want to contact me directly, you can get me at 608-556-1641.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Again, thank you to Steve for joining today's podcast. For more information on event production, please visit www.daktronics.com, and we'll include Steve's information in the show notes.